I went through Journey to the Nativity, and I'm about to get Anita to come up. You want to play the video first, and then you'll come up. Is that all right? Yeah, see, we totally know what's going on. We're planned. It's all happening. Okay, have a look at the screen. If we can hit the lights, maybe, and make sure the volume's up for the video, that would be great. And then Anita's going to come. How about when she comes up, we stand up and give her a big clap and welcome her? Can we do that? Just not now. Ian's ready to do it now, but I'm going to play a video, and then we're going to do it. All right.
This is the case.
Wow.
4 days, 8 hours a day, 90 miles on foot. That is what waited for Mary, who was 9 months pregnant, by the way. Along with Joseph, who had just discovered that his wife-to-be was pregnant with the Son of God, 90 miles on foot. Miles for Mary to ponder the wonder of this miracle and to question how it would affect her hopes and dreams. 90 miles for Joseph to consider the things that first-time dad struggle with and to wonder, what's this relationship with the Son of God going to be like? 90 miles, probably, of difficult discussions. 90 miles of anxiety and doubts. Probably some squabbles, hopefully some laughs. 90 miles. But up ahead lays Bethlehem, the little town where the Savior was born. Maybe you find yourself on a 90-mile journey this Christmas, one that's testing your faith. Maybe you didn't sign up for this, and you don't think you deserve it, and it's going to take every breath you've got to get there. Might even feel like God's holding your feet to the fire. The fire. It will refine us if we let it. Have I not told you, be strong, be courageous, do not be afraid, do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God, He is with you, no matter where you go. So friend, no matter how long the road, no matter how many dried up streams you come to, lift up your eyes, for the little town of Bethlehem awaits. Jesus, He always meets us at the end of the journey.
For the opportunity to gather as family today with sons and daughters of the Most High God. Thank you for the privilege of being able to be under one roof and freely gather in your name. Lord, thank you for what you have for each one of us today. And I know that your Holy Spirit is going to tailor make the Word of God for each heart individually today. And Lord, I just pray that you would anoint the word as it comes forth, that it would be from you, and that you would do your work in us and through us, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Okay. So we are going on a journey to the Nativity. We're sort of revisiting those beautiful scriptures in the first parts of the Gospel that tell us about Jesus's arrival. But there's so much more to this journey than just reminiscing. And so today I pray that you really catch a hold of what God has for you in your journey with Him. We're going to start in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2 and look at verse 1 to 3. I don't have them on the screen for you today, but you can turn there with me or just follow along as I speak. So in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that the census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to their own town to register. So due to Caesar's decree, families across Israel would set out for their hometowns. So for some, the trip would be short. For others, it could be quite the journey. Webster's dictionary describes a journey as traveling from one place to another, usually taking a rather long time. This would absolutely be true for Mary and Joseph's journey to Bethlehem. It would have been no walk in the park. Instead, it was a long and difficult journey of 90 miles. Well, for those of us here in Australia, that is almost 145 kilometres. How many of you go and get up and go, I'm going to go for 145k walk today? That's definitely not a one-day walk, right? That's a long way. I kind of looked up walking, how far people generally walk, what distance they walk in an hour. And if you're brisk walking or moderate walking, but I thought, okay, let's just go for the easy walking because you've got to pace yourself. So at an easy walk, they say it's 5 kilometers an hour you can cover. So this is quite a journey, 145 kilometer journey for Mary and Joseph. It's huge. It likely would have taken the better part of a week. Because Mary, even though she's probably fit and able-bodied, she's also 9 months pregnant. So they told me one of the ways to get Bub to come was go for a walk. Can you imagine that? I'm sure Mary didn't want to go for a walk at that stage. So the terrain would have been far from flat as we know it. Even though they had some of the Roman paved roads, nothing like the roads we have today. And the Bible doesn't actually say there was a donkey. So maybe there was. Well, we don't actually know. So this was quite a journey. I wonder what kind of conversations they had along the road. So I'm going to read from Luke chapter 2, 4 to 5. Now I'm going to just go to the next verse there. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee in Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and lineage of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. So the journey to Bethlehem in many ways was not unlike the journeys we all take. It would not have been easy for this couple. There would have been bumps along the road, uncomfortable situations, uncomfortable places to sleep, probably sleeping out in the open under the stars. Heavily pregnant for Mary, that would have been so uncomfortable. What was the outcome of this journey, though? We read and hear the story often, but for Mary and Joseph, they didn't know what the outcome was going to be. They didn't know what the end was going to look like. They couldn't see the bigger picture yet. And I just want to say that often for us, we'll get a promise from God. We'll get something birthed in our heart, and as things begin to unfold, it doesn't often look the way we envisioned. It doesn't often seem the way we pictured it. We can feel really discouraged, like, God, I don't understand. You sort of gave me this promise in my heart, but it feels like everything is going opposite to your plan for me, for what you have for me. They were not able to see the bigger picture. I just want to read on a little bit more. Mary and Joseph's trip from Nazareth to Bethlehem was a really hard undertaking, but their journey didn't begin there. So we're going to have a look again in the Gospel of Luke. God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, to a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus." So an angel appears, and that would be enough to make most of us feel maybe anything except for peace. She was feeling afraid, but then this message comes. You're going to have a son, but not from your fiancé. This is going to come directly from God. He's going to be called the Son of God. And at this point, when Mary receives this word and she accepts this word from God, a seed is planted within her. There is a promise that came, but it's always, whenever God gives us a promise, it's in seed form. Often we want God's promise and we want the full-grown tree, but God gives us the promise as a seed. But within the seed is the power to produce the promise, if we will just anchor into that and believe it. Mary heard from God. Then she had to go and pass the news on to Joseph. Can you imagine having to tell your fiancé that you're pregnant and this child is from God? So Joseph must have been honestly a remarkable man. He just wanted to put her away quietly, he said. But I mean, I can't even fathom being able to hear Mary's words and not want to mock her or question her. But it says in Matthew 1:19-21, "Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" Wow. What I love about the beginning of Mary and Joseph's journey is that eventually it would lead them to Bethlehem. And the beauty of God's care for each of them. Don't be afraid, Mary. Don't be afraid, Joseph. And he's wanting to lead us as well into what he has for us. And that is the words that I hear resonating in my heart. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Okay, what Mary and Joseph didn't realize, and this is the same for us, even when we can't understand the why, God is actually setting up something far bigger than ourselves and far beyond what we can imagine. Okay? His purpose is about to unfold in your life. Now, what Mary and Joseph didn't know at that time was that their trip and their journey to Bethlehem was about to fulfill a 700-year-old prophecy about the birth of the Messiah. They are just in the moment, doing life, trying to understand the ways of God, trying to follow him, trying to navigate this 19-mile, 145-kilometer journey, not even understanding that every step they took towards Bethlehem was actually towards the fulfillment of a 700-year-old prophecy that is still bearing witness to the truth of the Word of God to this very day. God is setting you up for something far bigger than yourself. When he speaks a promise to you, he's speaking something that is so beyond just you. Mary was about to have a baby boy, but that baby boy was so beyond Mary having a child. And I love it when Jesus is born and the angels appear in the sky and they say to the shepherd, "Unto you is born this day a baby." We just celebrated two beautiful babies being born this morning. But we say, you know, to John and Susie and to Laurie and Paul, like, these beautiful babies are born. But this baby was said to the whole world, unto you is born a child, a son is given, because this gift was for everyone, was so much bigger than Mary. And I just want to tell you, I believe we've been talking all year about the even more and greater. And I really believe that God is wanting to bring each of us into his purpose, which is even more and greater than we can comprehend for our own lives. We are actually part of a much, much bigger picture. And we come and we see, like sometimes the connections, you might meet someone might be in your life, 10, 20 years later, that person will come back into your life and you can actually see that God was setting you up from the very beginning. You just had no idea way back then the plans that he would unfold later. And it's like that for everything. We can begin to trust in the seed of the promise that he's put in our heart. It may not go the way we think, but I'm telling you, what he's done and birthed in you is going to come forth at the right time in his purpose and in power. And it's for something so much bigger than ourselves. There is a stirring, and I believe the church worldwide is sensing a stirring, that there is something that is brewing that's big in the earth. And we know that wherever there is great evil, grace even more abounds. And I believe this is the day God is calling his church into an even greater grace, into an even more abounding light. You know, we don't really have a darkness problem. We just have a lack of light. And God is calling each one of us, what has he birthed in you? What has he put in you? What is that seed, that promise that he has given you? He is wanting today to say, hang on to that promise, because in due season, you will reap if you do not lose heart. And I believe we're about to step into the greatest harvest season that this world has ever seen. We're going to see that many souls coming into the kingdom of God, and he is in preparation mode, getting us ready. Just like Mary had to get in the right position, in the right town, at the right time for that promise to come about, God is repositioning, moving, changing, setting you up, because it's time for the new thing to enter the earth. Just like when everything changed the day Jesus was born. Everything in the Bible up to that point had been pointing to this moment in history. And everything since has been pointing back to the cross where Jesus fulfilled his purpose. It's all about his coming. And he has put something within us, and it's all about his coming. He is coming again, amen? He's coming again, and he is raising up a generation that will enter into the promise that he's put within your hearts. You know, I just think about Jesus and his journey. I can't even imagine leaving heaven and coming to earth. And not just coming to earth, but coming in the form of a baby. In Luke 2, 6 to 7, we read, while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in the manger because there was no guest room available for them. Mary and Joseph have finally completed their long journey to Bethlehem, and though there was no room in the inn, there was room in the manger, room in the stable. And Jesus, the Son of God, is born a helpless infant, placed into the care of these loving earthly parents. But the journey of the Son of God did not begin there, not by a long shot. Let's read from Paul's letter to Philippians, Philippians 2, 5 to 8. He says, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even the death on a cross. I want you to think about this. Jesus left the glory and the perfection of heaven to take a journey, to walk more than a mile in our shoes. He literally took on everything. for us. Everything. And his journey led him to a cruel cross. But he was so willing to take that journey. The Bible says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross, despising its shame. Because he looked at you and he looked at me, and that is all he wanted. I just the thought of that, you know, Jesus, I will give you anything for what you did. What would you like? The Father says to the Son, and he says, Dad, I just want them. That's all I want. Same heart as the Father, like Melody said this morning about that one lost sheep. We were all the one that was lost. He left everything in heaven to go on a hard journey to find stubborn lost sheep and to bring us into his family, into his fold. An incredible journey that Jesus took just for us. Why did he make this journey? I love what it says in John 10:10. It says, the thief, referring to Satan, the devil, he comes only with three intents. One is to kill, one is to steal, and one is to destroy. Then there's the most glorious but recorded in history. But Jesus said, I have come that they may have life and they may have it more abundantly. This abundant life. I've got to tell you, Christianity is not a destination in heaven. Christianity is a moment by moment relationship with a God who loves us more than we can imagine. He wants us to go on a journey with him, not to arrive somewhere, but the whole point is the journey. Jesus said, I will never leave you or forsake you. And even in eternity, the whole purpose of eternity is that we will be one, we will be together always. The prize is not paradise, the prize is the one who makes everything beautiful. It's him. It's Jesus. And so the journey for us is not to be despised, not to be looked at as the one day. Those in the room who are maybe my age or older might remember there was an old TV ad for Dreamworld that said, don't say one day, that day will never come. Do you remember that ad? Wash away your worries and have some fun. Well, the truth is, whenever we think about God in the future tense, the one day never comes. One day he's going to change this for me. One day I'm going to enter into that. One day I'm going to get victory over this sin. One day I'm going to change. One day I'm going to feel more joy again. I want to tell you, our God is the I am. He's not the God of going to be. He's the God who is. And that's the point of our journey with him, is that we journey with him in each moment. He's the God who is. He wants to talk to you, lead you, direct you, guide you, reveal himself to you every moment of the day. God is not like something that you just put on the shelf and bring out in convenient times and convenient places. He should be our life. So our life becomes the most glorious journey there is. I want to bring to your remembrance today the two men walking on the way to Emmaus. And they are really, really discouraged. And I'm going to go into a time of prayer in just a few moments because there's some stuff that God's put on my heart that I believe he really wants to do for each one of you today. But I want to just bring this out. They were in absolute depths of despair. They were in so much discouragement. They couldn't understand. They thought they had this whole thing figured out, that this Jesus was the one they were looking for. He filled all the promises. He ticked all the boxes according to the scripture. He was it. But they had witnessed him being crucified. It was the talk of the town. Everybody was talking about, did you hear that Jesus died? Did you hear that Jesus died? And everybody had their opinion. And it's just like today, only I think it's worse because we have social media and so many types of social media. There are so many opinions flying around the world at the moment. Everybody has an opinion on everything, and everybody has to have their say about everything. And I can just imagine in Jerusalem, everyone saying, well, I knew he was a fraud from the start. And someone else said, oh, I never trusted him. There was something about him I couldn't put my finger on. And someone else said, well, he healed on the Sabbath. He got what he deserved. And others were like, I don't understand. He was such a beautiful man. He was such a good God. Like he, I thought he was God. I thought he was, I don't know why he died. I feel like it was so unfair. Others were like, we're going to start a campaign. You know, this is terrible. Jesus died unfairly. There were so many mixed opinions. And these men had no idea where they fit in all of this. All they knew is that they were getting out of Jerusalem and they were just going to go away somewhere. Do you ever feel like that? I am so confused. I'm just going to bury my head in a book or put a thing on Netflix and I'm not going to think about a thing. And that's how they were. They don't want to think about anything. And this man comes walking along the road with them. And he says, what's going on? You both look so sad. And they look at him like, what? Do you not have Facebook? Like, what is wrong with you? Do you not know? I mean, did you not see the 7 o'clock news and the 5 o'clock news and the 9 o'clock news? I mean, it's everywhere, man. Jesus, this guy we all thought was the Messiah, he was crucified this weekend. Like, where have you been? Been living under a rock or something? And then he starts to talk with them and he's like, oh, you remember hearing about this passage in the law about what the Messiah would be like? They're like, oh, yeah. Remember that being read in the synagogue. And do you remember this psalm? Oh, yeah. I remember that psalm. Hey, that was talking about the Messiah. What? How do you know all this stuff? This is so cool. He starts expounding. He said, beginning at Moses and the law and the psalms, he began to expound to them who Jesus was through the scriptures. And then they get to a point and they're going to turn in for the night and Jesus comes in with them and then he breaks bread. Ooh! That's why we take communion every week. And I think God is calling us to take communion every day in our homes because it's in the breaking of bread that we remember. And that's what happened. He broke the bread and all of a sudden he was revealed to them that this is Jesus. And then he disappears from their sight and then they start elbowing one another. I knew it was him. I knew there's something about that guy. How come you didn't tell me it was Jesus? I knew it was him too, but I just didn't say anything. And all of a sudden they know this is Jesus. He's revealed, their eyes are open, and those men who were so discouraged now run back to Jerusalem, and they've got to tell everybody, hey, it wasn't the end of the story. And I believe that is God's word for you today. No matter how discouraged you might feel, it's not the end of the story. Jesus is alive, and he is still showing up on roads to Emmaus today. He's still showing up in our lives. He's still saying, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life, the abundant life. And he wants us to walk in it. I believe today as we journey with Christ, he wants to come and open our eyes, that we begin to truly behold him as he is in the word, that we see him, that he's unveiled to us at new levels. Because something happens when you are awakened to the resurrected Christ. Something happens, and it's this. You can't say to somebody who you see who's down and discouraged, well, you should meet Jesus. He's alive, you know. No, when you know, just like those guys on the way to Emmaus. It was the end of the day. They didn't care. It was a 7-mile journey back into town. They were suddenly so invigorated, they had to go and tell everybody that Jesus is alive. He kept his promises. Everything the Bible said was true. God is real. It's all happening, people. They were that excited. And he wants to take us on a journey that is not boring, that is not despairing. He wants us to enter into the abundant life that he has for us.
Amen.
So today I'm just going to ask if some of our musos can come back up for me, and if I can just have some keys in the background. I felt there was a couple of things that the Lord wants to do. Just like Mary and Joseph didn't really understand at the time the significance of their journey, I believe there are many in this room and you have no idea the amazing things God is about to unfold in your lives. He is not looking at you as just an ordinary person. He's looking at you as someone with such an extraordinary future, filled with him, filled with his life, filled with his promise. He wants to take you from discouragement to absolute enthusiastic hope for the world around you. And only the Holy Spirit can do that, can reveal Jesus to us, the way those men on the way to Emmaus had Jesus open the scriptures to them. But as I was praying this morning and waiting on the Lord, I just felt two categories we're going to deal with today. And the first one is pain, but not physical pain. That's going to be my second one. The first one we're going to deal with today is emotional and mental pain. And I believe there is much discouragement, there is hurt, there are people who are questioning, who can't understand a whole lot of stuff right now. There's things where you are feeling like unfulfilled. And others of you are carrying just heavy weights. Stuff has just got you down. Just like those two men on the way to Emmaus that said their faces, they were so discouraged. And this morning, I believe Jesus is saying, I want to lift the heavy burden. I want to put on the easy yoke, the light burden of following him. Remember, it says that he gives us a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. So what I want you to do this morning, and this is totally up to you to respond, but I just believe if you respond in this moment, you're going to enter into the same joy that those two men on the way to Emmaus entered into. The joy of knowing Jesus is alive. He is a promise keeper. Anything he told you in his word, he will do it. So if that's you this morning, if you've got any kind of emotional pain, mental anguish, any kind of heavy weight that you feel you're under, I just want you to stand all across this place and we're going to pray and God is going to lift those weights off, those heavy spirits of heaviness are going to come off today and those chains are going to be broken. And you're going to encounter Jesus in a new way, in a way you haven't for a long time. So if that's you, if you relate to that, if there's something weighing you down, today's the day to get that thing taken off of you in Jesus' name. Just stand to your feet and we're going to pray together. Thank you, Father God. Some of you need to forgive other people. They've wounded you, they've hurt you, they've let you down, maybe betrayed you. They've said things behind your back. They've stabbed you in the back. We're going to enter into a time of forgiveness. Some of you are upset. You can't understand what God's doing. Maybe you're even carrying unforgiveness towards God. You feel angry at him because your circumstances don't make any sense to you right now. There's others that you actually need to forgive yourself. You can't move on from mistakes you've made and it's still there all the time in front of your face. Today you're going to be liberated from all of those things. So I'm just going to lead you into a prayer of forgiveness and then I'm going to pray for you on top of that. So if you're willing, just say these words after me. Heavenly Father, I forgive these people who have hurt me. I forgive myself and I forgive you for those things that I've held against you. I'm asking you to give me a clean slate. Wash my heart clean. Give me joy again. Help me to know that you've got it. I don't have to have vengeance myself. I can leave it to you. I ask that you would forgive them and not hold it against them because they don't know what they're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, Lord, I pray for each person standing in this place, those watching online who are entering into this, that, Father, every weight would be lifted right now in Jesus' name. Lord, that every bit of confusion would leave their minds, that, Lord, the pain and agony of all of those hurts would be healed, and that, Lord, that beautiful love would be like the balm of Gilead over their souls. Lord, I pray that every bit of woundedness in their souls would be released in the name of Jesus. Lord, that they would be free, that they can experience joy again, that they can laugh again, they can smile again, they can have hope again. Father, restore unto them the joy of your salvation, Father. Restore unto them the joy of their salvation, Lord. Let them experience your love in a whole new way today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. The second category, if you're in this place and you have any kind of physical pain in your body, I want you to stand because I believe you're going to be released from pain today. Foot pain, ankle pain, knee pain, neck pain, head pain, shoulder pain. It doesn't matter where it is, stomach pain. If you've got issues in your stomach, stand right now. The Lord is going to set you free from pain today. Thank you, Father God. Lord, I thank you. It says that for this reason was the Son of God manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And I thank you in this place, right now, the works of the devil are being destroyed by the blood of Jesus that paid the price for our healing, that paid the price for us to be free. And Lord, I speak to the pain in each one here today. I speak to that pain in backs and necks and shoulders, in knees and legs and ankles and feet. Father, in ears and heads and eyes and throats. Lord, I speak to the pain in the name of Jesus and I say, go in Jesus' name. You cannot reside in the body of a child of God. They are bought and paid for with the blood of Jesus. So, Father, I thank you for a release from pain. In Jesus' name. Now, if you've had pain somewhere, I want you to begin to move that part of your body. Test it out because God is a faithful God. And you can enter in right now to what he's doing. So if you've had any pain, begin to test it out. If you're seeing even like an 80% better, 50%, just put your hand up if you're already seeing some improvement across this place. If you feel some improvement in your body, put your hand up right now. Yep, there. That's awesome. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. All right, Father, we just thank you that you who began a good work will complete it, Father. And I just thank you, Lord, no more pain in Jesus' name. No more pain in Jesus' name. I know this might sound a little bit funny. I just want you to ask the Lord, what is the source of this pain? Because he's going to show you. And for many of you, it's not going to be what you think. Often our pain physically is linked to something else. So just ask him, what is the cause of this pain? And just see what he says, and then we're going to pray again. So Father, I thank you for revealing to us what the root cause of these aches and pains are, Father, because you want to set us free on every level, not just physically, but mentally and emotionally, in our souls, in our spirits. You want to set us free, Lord. So I just thank you for revealing the root causes of pain, and that, Lord, today you're going to go right to the heart of the matter and set them free in the name of Jesus. All right. Father, I release them from pain. Lord, the pain of the past, the pain of trauma, the pain of regret, the pain of sin and shame. Father, I release them from pain and the pain of disappointment, That's a big one. If you have felt disappointment, I want you just to take a big breath in and a big breath out right now and just release that to God. And as you do, I believe your body is going to be healed. Thank you, Lord, for all disappointment to leave in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right. Begin to move those areas again. If you have pain, begin to check it out. Who else is feeling more pain-free? You can tell there's a difference. Something's happening. Put your hand up if you can feel a difference in those areas. Yeah? How much different? No pain anymore at all? Praise God. Come up here. Why don't you share with us?
Come
on.
Okay, I have a knee pain this week, and now it's gone.
Praise God. That's awesome. Who else wants to share? Who else has just had God speak to them, minister them, and touch them? Ian, do you want to share?
As Anita was praying, just then I felt the presence of the Holy Spirit really come upon me. I've been having tendonitis in my left arm, left elbow, and it's reduced quite a lot just now. Yeah, I just felt a warmth or something just come over me in that prayer, and yeah, I felt release. Yeah, I've been having it for about 6 months now.
Wow, that's good.
And I think the thing about the disappointment thing that you mentioned, was a key thing.
Yeah. I know for me personally that's been a big key. Thank you for sharing. Anyone else want to testify? Something happens when we testify. Anyone else want to testify? Come on.
I've had this horrible like burning sensation in the backs of my shoulders for about 2 weeks now. And God. Praise God, thank you.
Thank you, Jesus. You're so good. Who else wants to testify? Don't be shy. We want to brag on our God. He's so good. Who else wants to testify? We've got time for one more. Come on.
Just earlier today when you guys prayed for how would you do something, actually I have all the time in my neck, and when you pray it's just gone. Praise God.
Yes. Show us your neck.
Oh, it's here from there. So
it's gone.
It's all gone. Praise the Lord.
You don't necessarily feel it now. I want you just to believe that God has done something. There's so many times where I've just been like, oh, okay, and then I've gone about my day, and then later I went, when did that happen? I'm better. So just walk in it, okay? It'll happen. Don't stress about it. He's a faithful God. All right, I want to just do one more thing and we're going to finish up. But if you're in this room or if you're watching me online, and you haven't received the gift of Jesus. Remember I said near the start, unto you is born this day a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This beautiful Jesus that we celebrate Christmas, Easter, all year long, he came for you. And so I want to give you an opportunity to enter into a journey with him, into a relationship with him, where you are no longer living life for yourself. You're now living for the one who loved you and gave his life for you. So if that's you in this place, I just want you to put your hand up. Anita, that's me. I want to receive Jesus. You know, Jesus was not ashamed to hang on a cross for you. And so don't you be ashamed to put your hand up and say, I want to follow him. And if you're watching online, wherever you are, put your hand up. I'm going to be included in this, unless you're driving. Okay. Amen. So, Anita, that's me. Put your hand up, and I'm going to lead you in a prayer this morning to come to Christ. I want you just to repeat this after me. Heavenly Father, I have sinned, and I need a Savior. Cleanse me. Wash me clean. I receive Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I choose to follow him and give my life to him as he gave his life for me. Thank you for making me part of your family. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Why don't we give God some praise in this place? Amen.
One thing I want to do, I got a message from, well, many of us know Freddie, who's part of our church, and hey Freddie, she's watching online. Freddie's gone through cancer treatment, and this is the last week that she's entering now, and her message basically says that she'd love us to pray for supernatural nutrients and energy. You believe for that? That she can be filled right now by the Holy Spirit, just for her last bit of treatment. Because it's anyone that's known, anyone that's gone through cancer treatment, it's exhausting, tiring, and we want to believe for God to just touch her body. The other thing we want to believe for, she didn't ask this in the message, but what can happen is sometimes they let you out of cancer treatment jail, we'll call it that, early. That can happen. So we want to pray for favor that the doctors go, you know what, you've had enough and you're done, and then she's able to go home. So we're going to believe for that. Before we even pray, I got that message, Frinnie, and I know you're listening with Steve now, I think. I got a word for you, Frinnie. So the word's this from Psalm 18, verse 39. For you have armed me with strength for the battle. Amen. You have subdued under me those who rose up against me. That's the word of the Lord for you. God has given you the strength that you need, and your enemies are under your feet. So cancer's gone in the name of Jesus. It has no place in your body. And the treatment, you know what? I know it's been tough and challenging to this point, but God says he's equipped you with what you need, and that this week it may seem daunting because it's the last week and your body's been adjusting to the treatment, but we're saying no more. You're going to walk through the rest of this fire. You're not going to get burnt, and you're going to get to come home early to your family, and we're going to be able to welcome you home and believe for a very quick and speedy healing. So would all of you guys, this is our camera over here, right? This is our streaming camera. You see the little red dot? Just reach your hand out. She can see some of you, not all of you, but just reach your hand out towards there. We're going to pray right now for the Holy Spirit. I don't know where Freddie is. I don't know if she's in a hospital room or in her accommodation room, but it doesn't matter because the Holy Spirit is there right now. It's going to just unleash on your body, Freddie. And even as I've been sharing that word, I believe that the Holy Spirit is touching you and restoring and re-energizing and revitalizing your body. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your Holy Spirit, Lord, that we can be in Stanthorpe in unity praying and believing for health, and Frinnie can be in Toowoomba, and that you're touching her right now by the power of your Holy Spirit, that health and wholeness and energy and vitality is her portion right now. Although the flesh may be weak and weary, Lord, may their spirit be filled with encouragement. Lord, even if we don't feel it or see it right now, we know that we know that we know that you are at work in her body. And so, Holy Spirit, bring healing, bring restoration, touch her, re-energize her, revitalize her right now. And even as we pray, just more energy, more strength. May she get to come home early from hospital and not tired and weary, but Lord, full of strength, because your Holy Spirit is doing something right now in Frinnie's body. And so, Lord, in faith, we declare health in Jesus' name. And everyone shouted, amen. Amen. And give God a good praise and thank you. Thank you, Lord. Well, we're going to close. Why don't you stand with us? Why don't you stand with us? Quickly sing this chorus. Oh, come, let us adore. Come on, lift up your voice, lift up your hands. Yeah.
room, everyone watching online, you desire such a close relationship with them because you love them deeply, personally, intimately. God, I pray your blessing upon them. Let your presence fill them. God, let your angels surround them this week. Father, let them be protected. Let them be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let them walk into divine connections, divine appointments, I pray. Lord, as we take these Gospels of Luke with us this week, I pray for divine setup, Lord, that we would meet the people that need those Gospels, Lord, and that, Lord, many will be saved this Christmas season, Father, as, Lord, we just spread that word. Father, I thank you for your people. Bless them, empower them in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. God bless. We're going to have a time.